going over verse 6 in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm going to tell you that as we've been learning, all of these things are taught in order for us to apply to our lives. And I cannot hunger and thirst for righteousness unless I am poor in spirit, unless I am humble. I cannot hunger and thirst after righteousness unless I have mourned over my sin and repented of it. I cannot hunger and thirst for righteousness unless I am meek, unless I am controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's that self-control in the Spirit. So this word blessed here means deep, joy-filled contentment and an inner state of spiritual well-being. Hunger means to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire, to be in great need, to suffer want. This is an active spiritual longing. Thirst here means to suffer thirst, to painfully feel the need to be satisfied. You're in pain. It's like you go on a really long, hot hike, and you forgot to bring water with you, and you're so thirsty that you're almost in pain. You have to have this drink. This is an eagerly longing for the things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. We were made to be righteous. So if we are hungering after righteousness and thirsting after it, we're going to fill a need that we have as spiritual beings in the Lord. Righteousness is a state of him who is as he ought to be. I talked a couple weeks ago about who you really are, that person inside of you, that redeemed person, that soul, that spirit. And when we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness and acting righteously, we are being that person that we are always meant to be. This hunger and thirst for righteousness, and this word righteousness also means it's a condition that's acceptable to God. Who makes us righteous, ladies? Can we do it ourselves? No, it's a work of God in us. It's him doing this work. So don't forget that. But the wonderful thing about being righteous is that we are being who we really are in Christ. And with that, there's going to be integrity. You're going to have integrity. You're going to have virtue. You're going to have purity of life. You're going to be correct in your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Wouldn't you like to be like that all the time? Correct in your thoughts, feelings, and actions? I know I would. To be filled is to fulfill or satisfy the desire of any one thing absolutely completely. This is abundant fulfillment. Have you ever wanted to be abundantly fulfilled? That only comes in Christ. It only comes by this hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to tell you something, that if this is not your experience, that you don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, there's a simple remedy for that. Ask for it. You don't have because you don't ask. Ask the Lord to give you a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Since I've been studying this, I've been hungering and thirsting for righteousness because I ask the Lord to help me to do that. And I ask him that every day. This hunger and thirst for righteousness is going to be a deep desire for you to be righteous yourself and for the righteousness of Christ to come and be part of this world. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to have this great longing, this desire. In order to hunger and thirst for righteousness, though, there's a step that you have to have first. You need to hunger and thirst for God. He needs to be your one and holy passion. He needs to be the reason that you live. He needs to be your everything, because he really is your everything. Everything that you have, everything that you are, all of it comes from him. We have nothing without him. In Psalm 42, 1 through 2, it says this: as the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? Is that your heart? You cannot wait to spend time with the Lord, that you run to him in the morning or whenever you get your chance to spend time with him? That should be the cry of our heart and our heart's desire. And if it's not, ask the Lord to change your heart, that you would want that with him. It's just him doing this work in us. This hunger is not passive. Instead, you're going to fervently seek him. In Psalm 63:1, it says, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. Early will I seek you. Let's stop there for a second. Before your feet hit the floor in the morning before you get out of bed, you should already be having a conversation with the Lord. You need him that badly. You need him before you even start your day. If I don't start my day that way, things go awry pretty quickly. Has it happened to you before? Not a little bit? No one? Okay, it's just me. Okay, all right, we got some over here. So it's important that you talk to God, start with him. What I start doing before my feet hit the floor is I start worshiping him. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for who you are. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Now, Lord, line me up with your will today, that I would fulfill what you have for me to do today and that I would follow you and not run ahead of you. It says, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. This theme keeps over and over again of this being thirsty, being dry. And that's how we need to feel. And that's, it should be almost painfully spiritually that we so desire that relationship with the Lord and to be with him. Psalm 143:6 says this, I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Ladies, you can have this. You can have this kind of relationship with the Lord. Simply ask for it. But there's also some steps that I'm going to talk to you about that will help you get this. But before we get there, if you're seeking God, you're also going to seek his kingdom and righteousness more than anything else in your life. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything that you need, not what you want, will be added to you if you're seeking his righteousness first. Your desire will be for the Lord's will to be done here on the earth. You will be in direct opposition to the world if that's your desire. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let me tell you a little bit about the worldly wisdom that we have today. And in the Bible, I'm going to read a verse pretty soon, but not yet, talks about that it's demonic. So we live in a very egocentric world. Do you know what I mean by that? It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And the world will tell you it's all about you. Get whatever you want. It doesn't matter if you hurt or destroy somebody else. It's all about you. Get what you need. And so we have a society now where if a woman becomes pregnant, suddenly if that child, and they don't call the child a child so that we don't think like that, but if that child gets in the way, then what society will tell you you should do is you should get rid of that, get rid of that child. And then they try to cover it up by saying it's just a clump of cells and it's not really a baby and it's, you know, it's okay for you to do this because it's your body, your choice. Every child is made in the image of God. Every child is a blessing from the Lord. But our world, our society will tell you that that's not true. It's an inconvenience. I was counseling ladies that had abortions, and we were kind of all standing together in front of an abortion clinic, and this news guy came up to me and he said, well, what about all of the child abuse in the world? And what if the child is sick? And, you know, why? I mean, shouldn't you have abortion for that? And I said to him, I said, murder is the ultimate of child abuse. And then he quickly walked away from me. He left me very fast. Ladies, our world will tell you that if you're unhappy in your marriage, find somebody else. Go somewhere else. Make yourself happy. It's okay to do that. And unfortunately, adultery is very prevalent in the church right now, too. It breaks my heart over that. But the world will tell you it's okay. Any way that you want to fulfill your desires is okay, but I'm going to tell you that it only leads to death. Our world will tell you that if you don't like being what you were born as, if you don't want to be a female, you want to be a male or opposite of that, that's perfectly fine. The only problem is science will tell you that you can't change your chromosomes. So there's a problem right there, even scientifically. But why this is demonic is that it flies in the face of what God says about us, that he created us male and female, and you can't change that. So there are people that are mutilating their bodies to try to get to become whatever the other thing is that they want to be. And this comes right from the enemy. Our society will also tell you this, that marriage can be with whomever you want. And again, this flies in the face of what the Lord has said, because you cannot become one flesh with the same sex. I'm just going to tell you, the plumbing doesn't even work. So this again flies in what the Lord has said, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and it's something sacred that he's done. Do you not see that that comes right from the enemy to destroy that for us? So if you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you're going to be opposed to the world. And now I'm going to read James 3:15. It says, "This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic." You're going to grieve over the wickedness of the world, and you're going to long for Jesus to come back and set his kingdom on the earth. Anybody long for that? You're going to grow more and more uncomfortable here, and you're going to realize more and more, the closer you get to the Lord, this is not your home. I don't belong here. But I also want to warn you on the other side of this. There's a lot of us right now that are looking at a lot of prophecy. We're listening to messages on prophecy and things that are being fulfilled right now. That's not bad within itself, but I'm going to tell you, if you're focused there and you're staying there and you're just waiting for the Lord to come back and for the rapture, ladies, we have work to do. This is not time for us to just sit around and do nothing. You have been gifted. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a mission. You have a purpose here on the earth. So don't sit around waiting for the Lord to come back. May he find us doing the work of the kingdom when he returns. Let us be those good, faithful servants of his. When we don't find our fulfillment for righteousness in the Lord, because I'm going to tell you, you can only find it in the Lord. If you try to do this on your own, these are the results that I've found when I've counseled women. You're going to find yourself becoming fearful, anxious, angry, lonely, jealous, and even prideful. We cannot do this without the Lord. It means a life surrender to him, laying down your life, giving it to him, because he is responsible for us to finish the work in us, right? We have a part in our sanctification. Absolutely, we do. And I'm going to be talking about those things. But remember that you cannot do this on your own. Otherwise, you're going to get really frustrated. You have to do it within the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. As I've said millions of times, the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of you. The world will only fill you with empty lies. It's going to leave you spiritually emaciated. If you are looking to other things than the Word of God to feed you and to give you what you need, you're going to starve spiritually. I'm going to tell you. There are a lot of books out there, but I want you to know something. This is a divine book. This was given to us by God. This is God's very own word. And I do not need to supplement it with other books. I have everything I need right here. So be careful that you're not doing that. And if you are reading other books, make sure they line up with this. And this is primarily what you're reading. So if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we hunger and thirst after the Lord, we're going to develop a desire to obey him. We don't obey him to earn our salvation, right? Jesus did that all on the cross. I cannot work for it. But it does talk about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're working it out. And what you're doing is that if I am obeying the Lord, I'm actually proving my love to him. Am I going to be perfect? No. I blow it every single day. I know that we all do. But my desire is to obey him. And again, this is how the Lord sees this. In John 15:9-11, he says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." We abide in God's love when we are being obedient to him. It isn't that his love goes away from us, because nothing can take his love away. But what happens is when we're disobedient, we are not abiding in his love. We're walking away from it. We are in a kind of sense of being unprotected, because we're not doing what we are supposed to be doing. Just like that little 2-year-old that goes running off in the street. We also keep his commandments because we love him. And it's interesting, at the very end of this verse, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. I often have women tell me that, well, I want to do this or I want to do that, and it's not really the right thing to do. I said this before, because the Lord wants me to be happy. But I'm going to tell you, obedience produces joy. You will have joy, real joy, when you're obedient to the Lord, when you do what is right before him. John 4, 31 through 34. Jesus is just done talking to the woman at the well, and she's running into the town, telling them all that she's found the Messiah. In the meantime, the disciples went out to get him food. They're back now, and it says this. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Doing the will of him who sent you, because we are supposed to become like Christ, will be food to your spirit. There have been many times that I have been called, I would say, by the Lord to fast and still minister and still teach and still kind of doing what I'm doing right now. And I'm going to tell you that when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes on me, and when I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I don't even think about being hungry. I don't feel weak. I don't feel tired. It's an incredible thing. So doing the work of the Lord can be food to your spirit. I'm going to drive this home a little bit more. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we show the Lord that we love him? By keeping his commandments. And we're now under the commandment of love. The law of love is what we follow, doing loving things. Luke 6:46 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And then Luke 11:28 says this, more than that, blessed, supremely happy are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Not just hearing the word of God, but being obedient to it. You will be blessed in that. So what does it look like to hunger and thirst after righteousness? What are some things that we can do? So I want you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll give you a few minutes to get there. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. We are to be imitators of God, to be like God, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So these are things that we do to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to walk in that, is we walk in love just as Christ loved us. How are we to love each other? As Christ loved us, okay? That's big. That's a hard thing to do, but that's what we're called to do by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. So you don't do these things, but you give thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, and I'm listing these things, now remember that this is habitual. This is somebody that's a lifestyle of these things. So don't get concerned, because we all blow it, okay? But this is somebody that's in that, it's an unrepentant sin. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now we're getting to kind of the meat of it. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You should be so bright in your relationship with the Lord that you should be that city on the hill, that light. And you don't cover that up, but you shine it out. And you show that wherever you go and whatever you do. You don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to be on the street yelling stuff at people. But be kind, be loving. When you see an opportunity, when the Lord gives you one, take it to share the love of Christ with someone. Just do random acts of kindness, and maybe even the Lord will give you the opportunity to do the whole thing. Wouldn't that be great to be able to give the whole gospel to somebody and they come to Christ? I would like that to happen. And then it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Mindy talked about the fruit of the Spirit last week, and that is something that we develop in our walk with the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then the rest of it is a description of what that fruit is. And so we want to be developing that fruit in our life, and we do that by staying close to the Lord. And then it says this, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do we find out what is acceptable to the Lord, ladies? How do we do that? Reading the Word of God. That's right. It'll tell you just what you need, everything you need. There's even a verse in 1 Thessalonians that says, the will of God is your sanctification. Okay, well, that's what we're talking about here. Just becoming more and more like Christ as he's working in you. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ladies, we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And that doesn't mean just, you know, doing bad things, but we should have no even fellowship with that. We should be careful that we're not enabling people in unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, we should be light. We should be standing out. And there are times, yes, that you're going to have to speak out against it. You need to do it with love and respect and humility, but you must speak. There are times that you must speak. I find that often in the job that I have in counseling. And then it says, but rather expose them. Again, you're going to expose these works of darkness by the light in you, by the Holy Spirit within you, and your light shining. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Ladies, it is time for us to wake up in our relationship with the Lord and to put away dead things in our life, things that are holding us back, things that are causing us to not grow, to kind of get stagnant in our walk. Get rid of those things. As the Lord shows you these things, get rid of them in your life and wake up, and Christ will give you light. He'll give you light. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. Walk wisely in your relationship with the Lord and how you relate to other people. Why, ladies? Because the days are evil. Can you not see that the days are evil that we're in right now? It's so important that we are doing our part in the world and here in the church in ministering and being a light in the darkness. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This filling of the Holy Spirit is a continual filling. I very often, all day long, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. If there's something I need to do, some work I need to do, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Don't neglect doing that. We need him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a thankful and grateful heart. Something that I do on a regular basis is I'll walk around my house and I'll thank him, Lord, thank you that I have clean water to drink, that I have clean water to bathe in. I don't have to go for miles and find it. Thank you that I have all the food that I need. I have been completely provided for by the Lord. Is that not true of all of us? I have clothes to wear. I have everything I need. And more importantly than that, I have eternal life through what you have done for me, O Lord, by sending your Son on the cross and the resurrection. I have everything I need. Thank you, Lord. Develop that thankful and grateful heart. And then the last verse we're going to look at is submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And if we were to go on, it kind of talks about what that submission looks like, but that would take me another day for us to go through all of that. So these are ways, ladies, that we can be hungering and thirsting after righteousness and living righteous lives. Now, what about the blessing? Because what does it say? They will be filled. So we're going to be completely filled and satisfied as we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, because that hunger and thirst needs to be filled by the Lord. But we are going to have that desire, and we're going to walk in that righteousness. It says here in Psalm 107:9, "For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." This satisfied in the Hebrew means completely satisfied to excess, like overflowing, enriched. That's what the Lord will give us. He is the one that can satisfy. No other person, no other thing can satisfy you like the Lord. So don't look anywhere else for it. I've tried in my life, and I failed miserably and was miserable until I realized only the Lord could satisfy me, even things that I thought were good. Psalm 17:15 says this, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Do not look forward to that day when you will wake up and that you will awake in his likeness, that you will see him and that you will become all of that, that without sin, no sin nature, no dealing with sin anymore, in that body that can never die and that can stand in the presence of the Lord because there's no sin there. 1 John 3:2 says this, "Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That is the ultimate fulfillment that we are going to have when we are satisfied completely in the Lord, when we stand or probably on our faces before him. Ladies, as always is my what I normally do, and I just think it's appropriate that we worship the Lord after we have studied the Word of God. So what I'm going to do, if you're comfortable, I'd like you to close your eyes, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. And I want you to try to picture this, because this is what we have awaiting for us. And this is who our God is. This is the reason why we do all of these things, why we hunger and thirst after righteousness, why we need to be humble, why we need to mourn, why we need to be meek, because our God is holy and beautiful and completely and fully loving. So close your eyes. "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.' I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" We're going to take a moment, and we're going to worship now. However you see fit, if you want to get on your knees, if you want to raise your hands, if you want to stand up, but worship the Lord, because he's a reason why we are doing all of these things. Let's worship, and then I'll come up and pray. Praise you, Lord. Worship you and give you all the glory and the honor. Lord, you are our King and our God. You are the one that makes us righteous. You are the one that fulfills our every need. Lord, I pray that we would delight ourselves in you, and that you would be our one and holy passion. God, I pray that we would live lives on fire for you, light in the world, Father, to bring you glory and honor, O Lord, to point to you always. For you alone, O Lord, deserve all of our worship and praise. Lord, thank you for this night. Bless our time in our groups, and I pray that you would be honored. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.